the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters of Jesus. Our passage for meditation today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. This is the translation from the Christian Standard Bible, so it might look a little different from what you saw in your bulletin. Here's how it sounds. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. I love that section because you can apply it to your life instantly. Like before you even leave this building today, you can find a practical application. This is, of course, God's words, but written by St. Paul, the apostle, to the church in Ephesus, a congregation like ours. And it's all about how you do your day-to-day life. Maybe you noticed it didn't say contemplate the nature of your existence. It said watch carefully how you walk. Your walk is your life, but in the Bible's language, your walk is the practical way you do your life. It's the morning routine you have during the week. It's how you spend your Sunday afternoon. It's what you talk about around the dinner table. And St. Paul says, watch carefully how you walk. Make sure it's not foolish. When I read that, it made me think right away of a Monty Python skit called The Ministry of Silly Walks. Now, a lot of the stuff that the Monty Python crew made was crude and some of it was sacrilegious, but this sketch always makes me laugh. It's imagining a division of the British government that's their whole purpose is to research and fund funny ways to walk. And so it's just a ridiculous scene. You've got these guys in bowler hats and fancy ties strutting around the streets of London, like kicking their leg out to the side and then over their head and then jumping backwards. It's ridiculous. It's completely inefficient way of getting around. It's nonsensical. And the joke is that it's a complete waste of time and taxpayer money. Well, the reason I thought of that when I was reading this section is because Paul wants you and I to ask, is our walk silly? Is it inefficient and nonsensical? Is the way we do our daily life a complete waste of the time that God has given us? You can look up the scene at your own risk, but here's the passage that really connects it to our sermon today. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. It's funny when a comedian walks around silly, but you know who doesn't think it's funny is this man, Ramatula Ramat. I don't know what Mr. Ramat is doing these days, but as of 1 year ago, he was in Afghanistan, and his job was to clear landmines from pastures. If he walks silly, kicking his leg out to the side and then jumping backwards, he could step on a buried bomb and then have no leg. He's got to watch carefully how he walks. And that's probably closer to our situation. It's probably closer to say we don't live in a comedy sketch. We live in a landmine field, which is why God says this. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. And here's why. Because the days are evil. There's a lot of evil things out there that lurk around us like landmines, right? There's evil influences on the next generation. There's evil people in power who try to take advantage of people who don't have power. There's a lot of evil that lives in my own heart and yours that is trying to get out. We live in an evil day where we have to be very careful how we walk. If you're not careful, walking around this minefield of our world with all its evil, if you're foolish with the way you spend your personal time, You're going to have your defenses down when the devil launches his attacks at you. God says, don't be foolish, live wisely. If you don't pay careful attention to your interactions with other people, you might miss an opportunity to encourage somebody who desperately needs it, or you might miss an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus when they don't believe in him. God says, in this crazy, evil world, we need to watch carefully how we walk. We need to walk wisely. And here's the two ways we're going to look at doing that today. We walk wisely first by thinking with God's mind, and second by getting high on God's joy. So the first way we walk wisely in our day-to-day life is to think with God's mind. Here's what the passage says. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. If you want to walk wisely, you need to understand what God wants. Now, if you were trying to understand what I want, you can't read my mind, right? You have to listen to the words that I say to you. That's how you'll know what I want. But did you know that you can read God's mind because he wrote it down in the Bible? The Bible is the written record of what God wants and what God thinks. He's given you access to his mind in the pages of the book sitting on your shelf at home. God says, I have written down what I want you to do, and if we're going to walk wisely through this world, we need to get to know God's mind in the Bible. There are a lot of different things God might want us to do, depending on where we are in our walk, right? So if you're a parent, what does God want you to do? You don't have to guess. You just have to find the passage in the Bible that's written to parents. So in Ephesians chapter 6, he says this, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. God wants parents to raise their children in the Lord. If you're an employee, you work for a boss, what does God want you to do? You don't have to guess. Just find the section of the Bible written to people who work for someone. It says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do. God wants employees to work with all their heart. Often it's not hard to figure out what God wants because he wrote it down. The trouble isn't figuring out what God wants. It's doing it. Because there's a lot of other ways to think about your life where you totally ignore what God wants. Right? You could go through your whole life, your daily walk, thinking about what are other people doing. What's the crowd doing? That's what I'm going to do. You could live your whole life not with the mind of God, but thinking with your own mind, right? Saying, what's easiest for me today? I'm going to just do the lowest resistance thing. Or if you're more ambitious, you might say, I'm going to put in the hard work today, but I'm going to do whatever gets me ahead 20 years from now. There's a lot of ways to walk through this world, not with God's mind, but with what the Bible calls a foolish way of thinking. A couple of examples. I've been a parent for exactly 6 weeks. You'd think you could get something right for that short a time, right? But in 6 weeks, it seems like every day I find myself at some point not doing what God wants me to do as a dad, but doing what's easiest or most convenient for my schedule. I've been an employee and worked for people for a lot longer than 6 weeks. And you'd think that over so much time, you could learn to do it right. But it seems like every day I find myself having a selfish attitude towards my work or a lazy attitude instead of what God wants. There are so many ways to fall into traps where you're not thinking with God's mind, but you're thinking about your work, your life, your parents, your friends, your relationships without thinking about what God wants. Which makes you wonder, how does God think about you? What is in God's mind when he thinks about you? Because it sure seems like he should be furious. If I had a friend who interacted with me the way I interact with God, if I had a friend every day I told them very clearly, this is what I want you to do, and every day they did the opposite, how many days would I wait before I stopped talking to them? You know, how long would it take before I just threw up my hands and said, I am finished with you. I am furious with you. It seems like God should be furious with us. And yet, This is the most stunning thing about God's will. This is, I can't figure this one out, but this is what God wrote from his mind in the scriptures. Read this with me. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved. It seems like he should be mad. And yet when he revealed his mind to us, he says he wants us to be with him in heaven. He wants to spend more time with us. Then he put his money where his mouth was. And he gave up his one and only son to suffer the consequences for all of our failures and to put away our sin forever so that we could be with him forever in heaven. I don't know why, but in God's mind, when he thinks of you, he loves you and he loves me. And if you want to walk wisely in this world, you need to understand that about God. Because if you think God is some angry ogre in the sky, you are not going to be walking wisely. And if you think God doesn't exist, you're not going to be walking wisely. You need to understand how much God loves you if you're going to walk wisely. Can you think about your past week with the mind of God? You know the places where you came up short last week. You know the places you failed and where you made selfish choices. So does God. Can you think about them with his mind? Which means, can you think of every one of your sins bundled up into the body of Jesus, nailed to a cross, sunk in a grave, never to be remembered again? In God's mind, you have been completely scrubbed clean by the blood of Jesus. You are perfect in God's mind. You are lovely in God's mind, and he wants nothing more than to spend forever with you. Can you think about yourself with God's mind? And can you think about the person sitting next to you with God's mind? There's an old preacher who claims he can think with his mind, the mind of his wife. So they've been married 50 years, so they got a lot of more experience than I've got with marriage. But he says when he walks through his daily life, something happens, he gets an email, somebody interrupts his schedule, something good happens, whatever. Something happens, and instantly he has his own instinctive reaction to what happened. But after 50 years, he also knows his wife's priorities, how she processes things, and he knows how his wife would respond. So it's not as though he's no longer an independent thinker. It's not like they went through some Vulcan mind meld or something like that. No, in his words, he says, I have been radically supplemented so that I can think with my mind plus the mind of my wife. So what if you were radically supplemented by the mind that knows all things and by the mind that loves all people? What if as you walk through your day and you get an email, you get an interruption, or you get some good news, and instantly you have your reaction and you have the perfect reaction of God in your mind? The more you read his mind in his word, the more you'll have access to think with the mind of God. That's the first way that we can walk wisely in our day-to-day. And the second way is kind of a natural conclusion from that. It means that we get high on God's joy. See, God knows that we walk in a minefield, right? There's casualties all around us. People are going down. You're getting hurt emotionally, physically. Things are bad. Days are evil. So we need a pick-me-up from time to time. We need something to lift our spirits when we're low. We need something to get us back high. Just don't do that foolishly. Here's what God says. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living. But be filled with the Spirit, be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. We need a pick-me-up, just don't do it foolishly. A foolish way to get high is to get drunk on wine, because that works for a little bit. It can raise your spirits for a moment, because alcohol is a depressant. It doesn't mean it makes you sad, it means it depresses your mental function. So it puts you out of touch with reality. It breaks your brain for a moment. People who are drunk, they have all the same problems as the rest of us. They still have projects at work. They still have responsibilities. They still have bills to pay. They still have all the things that would stress somebody out, but their brain is broken. So they don't remember those things for a while. And so they go through their evening, I have no problems whatsoever, until the next morning, right? And then reality hits. As a side note, the same exact thing happens when you're high on something else. Like if you're high on adrenaline, if you're skydiving or something, you feel like you have no problems until the next day. If you're high on romantic love, it feels like you got no problems. Or if you're high on personal achievement, right? Like you've just been killing your goals and climbing the ladder. You feel like you're unstoppable until you crash. Those things aren't bad. Those things aren't bad. Just like wine is not bad. But if you rely on the high you get from any of those things, that's foolish because they all end in a crash. A wise way to get high is to be filled by God's Spirit. See, God's Spirit, it is not a depressant. The Holy Spirit is not a depressant. He does not make you out of touch with reality. Instead, he makes you more in touch with reality. Put it another way. Alcohol makes you forget. Adrenaline makes you forget. Falling in love makes you forget your problems. But the Holy Spirit does not make you forget your problems. He makes you remember the solution to your problems. The Holy Spirit says, despite all the stressors in your life, I'm not going to make you forget about those. I'm going to tell you the answer. Despite all your stressors, the one who's in charge of the universe is on your side. The one who runs this whole world loves you, will do anything for you, has already done everything for you by giving up his own son to guarantee that you have his presence at your side for eternity. The Holy Spirit shows you reality that you wouldn't know if you didn't believe in God. He put faith in your heart so that you know the solution to all of life's problems. That gives you the joy of God. It gives you a peace in your heart. It gives you a high that doesn't end in a crash. And when you're high on God's joy, just like when you're drunk, you're more likely to sing. There are some people who only sing karaoke after a couple of beers, and there's some people who are not naturally singers by choice in this group right here. Some people who you only sing in this room with this group of people for this hour, but you do sing in this room with this group of people in this hour. I love that. I love that. You want to know why? Because when you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gladness in your heart, you're offering a bit of the Holy Spirit to the person next to you. It's like we all came in here with our baggage, with our casualties from the landmines out there. We all came in here kind of down, and instead of handing me a drink, you handed me a little Holy Spirit because you spoke God's joy to me with your song. When we are high on God's Spirit and sharing that high with our words, then we're living wisely. We're living wisely in the Spirit. All right. Putting a bow on this, we walk wisely whenever we think with God's mind and whenever we are high on God's joy. So what would that look like for you? If, let's just take the 15 minutes after service. For 15 minutes after we say amen in here, what if we lived perfectly wisely in the atrium? That means that when you see somebody you don't really know across the way, you have your thoughts like, oh, I don't think I know that person. It'd be a little awkward to go start the conversation. I'm not sure what I should do. You have your thoughts, and you also have the thoughts of God. That he sent his one and only son to die for that person, just like he sent his one and only son to die for you. And now he's put you in the same room so that you could speak to one another God's joy. What kind of Christian community would we have if we lived wisely every Sunday morning? What would the rest of your Sunday afternoon at home with your family in the car ride, what would it look like if you were living wisely? What would your Monday morning look like as you sat down to a new week of work or a new set of emails? Let's be people. Let's be a church of people who walks wisely, who thinks with God's mind, and who is high on the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us mind-blowing wisdom in your word. Make us wise. Help us to know what your will is and to do your will. And help us understand just how much you love us. And then unleash our voices so that we can speak and sing to one another and fill each other with joy so that we live high on your Spirit for the whole week. Grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get Sermon Podcast Weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.